listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Today's show is sponsored by Hearst Ranch. Hearst Ranch is the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable, native grasslands of the Central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that's as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information, go to HearstRanch.com. Welcome to Why We Cook on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Wides, your host. And let's talk about yellow food, or more specifically, orangey yellow foods, like deep golden color to marigold color, okay? Not lemon yellow, not navel orange, but somewhere in between. The color of the interior of a really, really ripe peach, or maybe the color of dried turmeric. Not fresh turmeric. That's much deeper orange and worth talking about, but not right now. We'll get to that on a later show. Let's talk about the color of the breakfast that I ate today. You know I like to talk about breakfast a lot on this show. And this morning I cooked my weekly pot of quinoa. I cook a pot of it early in the week and then I eat it all week. And I'm sure I have pontificated here before about the wonders of quinoa. I tend to repeat myself a little bit, but you know, the ancient grain of the Aztecs and Inca empires, the protein-packed super grain that we should all be eating more of. Sound familiar? So I used to eat oatmeal every day for breakfast, which I've also talked your ear off about here. But a few months ago, I ran out of oatmeal. And I never made it back to the oatmeal store, which is where I buy it in bulk for $1.59 a pound, organic, no less. And so on one of my rare trips to Costco, I found this 4-pound bag of organic quinoa that they were selling. And so I bought it. And on that first morning when I woke up and realized there was no more oatmeal, I made quinoa instead. And now it's quinoa in my house every day instead of oatmeal. I like it better. It has more protein. I feel good when I eat the quinoa. And I like to vary the preparation of the quinoa the same way I did with the oats. Some days savory, maybe with an egg and some miso and scallions. And some days fruity with yogurt, honey, cinnamon. But today I wanted both. So over the weekend, I was up in Peekskill and I went to the farmer's market up there and I bought some peaches. And this morning they hit critical ripeness. They hit that point where they were very soft and very perfumey. And I like at the point where if you leave them another hour sitting out, you'll see mold on them. So they were perfect. And I wanted those peaches this morning in my quinoa. But I also had some fantastic Bulgarian feta cheese in my fridge. And I had gotten it for free, which was even better. But that cheese was getting close to its kind of final moments. It was starting to be in like the death throes. And as you know me, I'm quite thrifty, which is what last week's show was about. And I hate to waste. So I had to use it up. So into the hot quinoa went the diced up peach and the crumbled Bulgarian feta. And the golden color of the peach and the golden color of the quinoa were really beautiful together in the bowl. And I stared at them for a couple of seconds. And in my sleepy-headed morning blur, looking at that color, it must have sparked something in my brain. And I remembered that I'm on a quest. I'm on a mission to try to eat more turmeric. Why turmeric, you ask? Well, it's turning out that it's one of the most powerful anti-inflammatory foods out there. It's like a super wonder food, and it has proven to be a cancer fighter and a tumor killer. It's like this amazing thing. And it's also, more importantly, thought that eating turmeric prevents Alzheimer's, which is a disease that I have no interest in developing. And in India, where turmeric is eaten like in everything extensively and used medicinally, they have very little Alzheimer's disease. Practically doesn't exist. Turmeric's a key component in Ayurvedic medicine, which is traditional Indian medicine, and it's been used for thousands of years medicinally. And it's the turmeric, but it's what's in the turmeric, which is something called curcumin, which is the real superpower in that. And it's the, you know, the research superstar that they're finding out from the plant. So I decided I wanted to eat more turmeric. And anyway, back to talking about yellow food. I started out talking about yellow food and my breakfast. And I remembered, because I don't have Alzheimer's, I still can remember that I wanted to eat more turmeric. And when I remembered, because I still have a memory, that I went to Belize last November, and the local farmers in the market in Belize were selling jars of powdered turmeric, but they were calling it yellow ginger. Now, it is a rhizome, and it is related to ginger. They're in the same family, but it's not ginger. It tastes totally different. And that's just what they were calling it. So I bought a big jar of powdered turmeric in Belize, and somehow I got it past customs at JFK. They weren't suspicious of a jar of yellow powder coming from Central America that had a funny smell. And there it was, sitting on my spice shelf, reminding me that I meant to eat it. So into the quinoa with the peaches and the feta went a good dose of the yellow turmeric powder. And then I added a good drizzle of buckwheat honey, really dark brown buckwheat honey that is produced in Connecticut at the apiary that's run by Andrew Cote, who's the guy who I learned beekeeping from. And he sells his honey at the Union Square Farmers Market on Wednesdays. And I love his buckwheat honey. I like honeys that are really dark and almost tannic and astringent. They're almost like molasses in a way. But anyway, I bought the honey from Andrew because my bees are well on their way and cranking out lots of honey for themselves, but they don't seem to be producing any for me yet. So I don't have any honey from my bees yet, and I may not get any this year. So I buy it from Andrew because I learned from him. Anyway, after the honey went into this bowl, I mixed it all up really gently because I didn't want to mush up the peaches, and I tasted it, and it was really unbelievably good. It was an amazing combination, I must say. A great creation. The quinoa, you know, is kind of nutty and crunchy and has kind of a toasty thing going on. And then the peach was, of course, perfect, like I said, like juicy and sweet and acidic, like one of those like once a summer peaches. You're lucky if you hit them a couple times. This was one of those peaches. And feta makes everything better because it adds salt and tanginess and brininess and creaminess. And then the turmeric added this kind of nice musty spicy to it. What does turmeric actually taste like? Musty? But musty's not good. In a good way. Musty in a good way. Anyway, and the turmeric really brought out the peachiness of the peach. What am I talking about? And the buckwheat honey was really good too, but it wasn't even necessary. But I like to eat a little bit of honey every day because they say that it helps to prevent your seasonal allergies. And I do have to say that in the spring I was eating local honey every day and I didn't suffer like I usually do this year, so maybe there's something to that. Anyway, it was this overall fantastic breakfast experience. It was a bowl of yellow joy, beta carotene supreme, and it actually elevated my mood to a much higher degree than my mood was when I first woke up, because when I first woke up today I was kind of blue. I was kind of in a funk. And I ate this bowl of yellow deliciousness, and it really, like, it perked me right up. It was like sunshine in a bowl. So we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll talk some more about yellow food. We'll be right back. Sponsored by Hearst Ranch. Welcome back to Why We Cook on heritageradionetwork.com. I'm Erica Wides, your host. And you can listen to these shows on the heritageradionetwork.com website anytime, archived, or you can listen to them on iTunes. You can podcast any show anytime. And if you like Why We Cook, you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look for Why We Cook on Heritage Radio Network on Facebook, and I would love to hear from you and hear what you think. So I'm talking about yellow food, but not like lemon yellow, not sunshiny yellow, like deep golden yellow. And I was talking about my breakfast that I had today in the previous segment, my bowl of quinoa with peaches and feta and turmeric powder and buckwheat honey. Sounds strange, but it was really good. So anyway, I took my bowl of my bright golden sunshiny breakfast mess to my desk where I always eat breakfast while I read the New York Times online. I read it online because I don't like messing around with the paper. I know I tend to be sort of traditional and a purist with certain things, but I don't like the smell of newspaper and I don't really like how it feels. And I don't like all the waste paper that it creates. It doesn't make sense to me to print it on paper and then put it in the garbage or the recycling bin the next day when you can just read it online. Now, I know I'm probably contributing to the demise of the printed word, which everybody is lamenting. But when the Times starts charging for online content, I promise I will subscribe and pay for it. I'm okay with that. And it's only a matter of time, so to speak, when they're going to do that, and I'll do it. It's okay. So I'm reading it online with the full intent of paying for it when it becomes subscription only. Okay. Anyway, so I'm reading the day's news and I'm looking over the headlines and checking out the science section because it's Tuesday and I love the science section. And then I skim the obituaries because who doesn't like the obituaries? It's interesting to see who died. Mitch Miller died this week from Sing Along with Mitch. Remember him? No, probably not. And anyway, who happens to also have died but the emperor of yellow golden foods, the king of the turmeric yellow snacks? Who is this? Mori Yohai, age 90, has died. Now, who is Mori Yohai? Well, my friends, Mori Yohai was the man behind the cheese doodle. Mori Yohai invented the cheese doodle. That's C-H-E-E-Z, doodle. The food that may be the singularly most opposite food form from what I was eating at that exact moment. The antithesis of real food, a non-food, an edible food-like substance, to quote Michael Pollan. That's what he invented. There could not be a food form that is more opposite than what I was sitting there eating in that moment when I learned that he had died. Cheese doodles are as American as it gets. You take surplus cornmeal, which we have a lot of. You turn it into a slurry, basically a mush. And you put it through a machine that sprays it through high-pressure jets that mix that mush with air and shoots it out, basically injects it with gas and puffs it up and shoots it out into a big, continuous, long, puffy corn slurry worm, which then gets sliced by blades that are like a propeller spinning around into little 2-inch doodles. And then you take those doodles and you spray them with dehydrated cheddar cheese powder and various colorings and dry milk powder, and then you bake them. That's how the doodle's made. And in the article about him, not in the obit, but I went and did a little further research, it said that he wanted to make sure that the doodle was baked, not fried, so that it would be healthier. So that's nice. So that's the way that the doodle was made. And this guy, Mori Yohai, owned a factory in the Bronx that made other snack foods like cheese crackers and Melba toast. And he then saw this machine that could make puffed shapes from corn slurry, and he invented the doodle. He was trying to figure out a way to make another cheesy snack, and he invented the cheese doodle. And it was such a huge success, the cheese doodle, that the company was bought up by Borden. And this guy, Mori, was made an executive there. And he, one of his jobs was sitting around a conference table with all the other executives trying to decide which tiny little toys to put in box of Cracker Jacks. Can you imagine? I have this image of these old guys in suits in like 1968 sitting around a giant conference table with tiny little packets of those little tattoos that you lick and stick on your arms. And like the tiny little plastic hamburgers. But I don't know if they were ever in cheese in a Cracker Jacks. I think my dentist used to give those out, tiny little plastic hamburgers. Anyway, so Cheese Doodles, I'm talking about this because they have great significance in my life. They were one of those junky foods that were among the millions of junky foods that we were not allowed to have in my house growing up. Banned from our household. My parents were firmly opposed to processed junk food. Although, ironically, we did eat a lot of canned soup. But I guess that wasn't as evil as the doodle and its kind. So whenever I got a chance to eat stuff like cheese doodles or devil dogs or even soda, I would go a little crazy. Because, you know, if you forbid somebody from having something, it becomes all they want. It definitely contributed to a little teenage eating disorder and a definite fascination and yet repulsion with junk food to this day as an adult. Now I'm repulsed by most of it. So I guess in a roundabout way, my parents did their job right. Although I don't really think their approach was correct because it took a lot of years of messed up eating and being a little crazy to get there. But anyway, now I find all that stuff repulsive and I won't eat it, but I'm still fascinated with it. And I was like a little fat kid. I was, you know, like this little chubby kid. And their banning of those foods just made me want them even more, of course. It was way more illicit and way more desirable, you know, like an alcoholic. And I remember as a little kid going to a Girl Scout meeting, a troop meeting at the house of the troop leader, who was your typical suburban mom and fed her kids junk food and soda and whatever they basically wanted, and they got to watch all the good junky TV and everything that we weren't allowed to do because my parents were trying to do a good job. And the snack for that night's scout meeting was this gigantic bowl of cheese doodles, like a mountain of cheese doodles. And, you know, the other girls in the troop were these little skinny girls raised in houses where there weren't forbidden foods like that. And they would, you know, pick at one or two and nibble on a doodle here and there. I was like a crack addict on a bender. I felt like I could eat the entire bowl of them and never stop eating them. And I probably ate somewhere between 75 and 100 cheese doodles that night. So when I got home, my mother, who constantly worried about my weight, along with our doctor, who was trying to always get me on a diet, you know, my mother was trying to get me to go on Weight Watchers at like age 10. And so when I got home, she said, "Oh, what did you snack on at Girl Scouts?" And I said, "Oh, cheese doodles." And so she took out the little Weight Watchers booklet that listed all the calories. This was in their days before points when it was about calories. And she looked up cheese doodles and the serving size was like 10. You could have 10. And so she said, "How many did you have? Like around 10? And I was just like, yeah, 10, yeah, something like that. Sounds about right. Well, I was probably rummaging through the cookie drawer because after all that salt, I now came home and wanted something sweet, hoping to find something in the cookie drawer other than oatmeal raisin cookies or Fig Newtons, because that's all she ever used to buy, because she would intentionally buy cookies that she knew we didn't like so that we wouldn't eat them. Hello, Dr. Freud. What was going on there? Anyway, it's truly amazing that I actually became the person that I am who eats things like organic oatmeal and miso and quinoa and mustard greens and yogurt so happily and so willingly. Because when I was little, I remember screaming at my mother that I vowed that when I grew up and I lived away from her, that I would live on devil dogs and crunch berries. And then she couldn't stop me because I lived on my own and I could do whatever I wanted. We're going to take another little break. When we come back, a little more about yellow foods. We'll be right back. show is sponsored by Hearst Ranch. For more information on Hearst Ranch, go to HearstRanch.com. Welcome back to Why We Cook on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Wides, your host. And we're talking about yellow food tonight and cheese doodles, because the inventor of the cheese doodle has departed this world. And he was 90. So I guess you could probably say that eating junk food won't kill you at a young age. Although who knows if he actually ate them. So anyway, I'm sitting in front of my computer, I'm reading the Times online, and I'm eating my breakfast, my organic quinoa, my Bulgarian sheep's milk cheese, my local peach, my turmeric from Belize, my local buckwheat honey, all in itself a parody of food elitism and political correctness. I know. And reading about the life and death of Mori Yohai, the inventor of the cheese doodle. So I'm reading all this, and turns out he was a son of Turkish Jews. His parents were immigrants from Turkey. Turkish Jews, a culture that is renowned for its healthful and complex cuisine, probably the most healthful of all the Mediterranean cuisines. Last weekend on NPR, there was actually a piece about the world's great cuisines, trying to pick number three along with France and China. And the author of the piece proposed that Turkish cuisine be in the top three, along with China and France. So what happened to Mori? He comes from Turkish Jews, comes to the States, and I guess the American dream caught hold of him, and he threw away the eggplant and the lentils and the feta and the grilled fish, and he invented the cheese doodle. So anyway, I'm eating my bowl of breakfast, and I'm struck by the similarity in the golden color of the cheese doodle, and of this bowl of yellow healthiness that I'm eating. And I start thinking that probably the only turmeric that most Americans ever actually eat, because my breakfast was covered, sprinkled with turmeric, the most turmeric that Americans actually really ingest without even knowing it is in the form of as a coloring agent. They don't even think of it as like a food if they see it listed. Like in boxed mac and cheese, it's used to give the cheese powder a deeper yellow color. Or, like, I've seen it listed as an ingredient in a lot of processed foods, and I assume that cheese doodles would have used it, too, to make them yellow. It's the primary coloring agent in mustard, like in yellow deli mustard, that really bright yellow mustard. That's from the turmeric, because mustard seed is yellow, but it's more like a Dijon yellow, and you want that bright yellow French's mustard that's full of turmeric. So you're actually ingesting it without knowing it, so I guess that's good, but not probably in the amounts that you should be. Cheap chicken broth uses it to make it yellow because people associate yellow with chickens, which is kind of weird because chickens shouldn't be yellow. And it's also added to margarine to give it that yellow color that people associate with butter, not with whipped hydrogenated vegetable oil. So I decided to look up the ingredients in cheese doodles, thinking that they would also have a healthy dose of turmeric in them and therefore be an Alzheimer-fighting food, which then they could probably put on the packaging. Because on the packaging now, it says that cheese doodles are a great source of calcium. Who knew? Screw yogurt. Give me more cheese doodles. It turns out there is not a speck of turmeric in the cheese doodle. The yellow coloring comes from red and yellow lake. What's lake? I don't know what lake is. I don't know what that is, but it's definitely not turmeric. Some kind of artificial color. I was going to look that up, but I didn't have time. So no doodles for me as a source of turmeric. I was so sure that there would be at least a little bit in there, but there was none. And I was so disappointed. I wanted to make this great connection between my bowl of healthy breakfast and the forbidden snack food of the past. But it was not to be. And it's too bad that it's only used in all that junky stuff here in the States, because there are so many great dishes out there around the world where it's used as a flavor and not just as a color. It's what gives curry powders, curry masalas, that yellow color, which is so predominant in Southern Indian cooking. Southern style Indian masalas, curry blends, are yellow because they're so heavy on the turmeric. I mean, it's like the predominant ingredient in some curries. And it's used in Indian pickling. If you've ever had Indian pickles, like lime pickle, they get this like electric neon yellow green color. That's the turmeric. And it's also used extensively in Persian and Iranian dishes. If you've ever had Persian rice, it's got a layer on the bottom that's kind of yellowish colored. That's from the turmeric. It's used in a lot of food. In Iran, they mix turmeric with onions and oil and cook it down and use it as a base for all sorts of different dishes. It's like their sort of primary ingredient in cooking. And it's not just used dried either. Powdered turmeric isn't the only way to go. It's actually, you can buy it fresh. It's a rhizome, like ginger. So it's not actually a root. It's what grows off the root. That's what a rhizome is. But the fresh one looks like little tiny, really dark orange ginger. And in Southeast Asia, it's used a lot in its fresh form, especially in places like Malaysia and Indonesia. You'll see piles of it in the markets. And it's pounded to make a paste for curries, because in Southeast Asia, curries are based on wet spice pastes, whereas in India, they're based on dry spice mixtures. And so if you've ever eaten Malaysian food or Indonesian food and you've had something like beef rendang or any of the Padang style curries, Padang is an island, they often have fresh turmeric pounded into them, and it gives this really bright yellow color and this really nice complex taste. So out there in the world, all over the place, turmeric is being used in much more respectable and noble ways than as an artificial, not an artificial, and then as a color enhancer for fake cheese powder. It's not really given its due in this country. But I say that if there is turmeric in anything, I'm going to eat more of it, because it's going to prevent me from getting terrible diseases like Alzheimer's. And who knows? You know, people have been eating it for thousands of years in India, and they seem to be doing something right. It's only when they start eating a Western-style diet that everything seems to be going wrong. So I say bring on the yellow powder. And in honor of Mori Yohai's death, even though there's no turmeric in the cheese doodle, go out and maybe get yourself a little bag. Or as we were talking about here during the break, if you just can't bear the thought of eating an actual doodle, you can go out and get the sort of like Whole Foods brand doodle, the healthy doodle, the doodlesque doodle. Anyway, bring it on. Go out, get yourself something yellow today. Celebrate the life and death of Mori Yohai. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to Why We Cook. We'll see you next week.